Well, welcome to this week's episode of the FitCast. This is episode 145. I'm Kevin Larrabee, and first with me is Jonathan Fast of AcceleratedStrength.com. How's it going, John?
Going good.
Well, I gave you some time to talk this week, and that's all you had to say.
That's all I had.
Okay. And then we have our special guest this week, Mike Robertson of RobertsonTrainingSystems.com. We've talked to him a couple times on the show. You know his articles on T-Nation, Inside Out, Building the Efficient Athlete, Magnificent Mobility, and a soon-to-be-released upcoming DVD, which I am pumped about, and I want to get my hands on immediately. Mike, what's up? Oh, and I should also say In the Trenches podcast as well. In the Trenches.
Yes.
How you been, Mike?
I'm doing well. Yourself?
Doing okay. I think let's first talk about what's been going on with you, because the one thing that we mentioned about in the show last week is this thing that you have going on called the Liftstrong Call to Arms. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yes. So several years ago, Alan Cosgrove, you know, you guys have all heard of him, grown to love him. The guy has beat cancer twice. So basically, he came to the conclusion that, you know, as an industry, the fitness industry has been very poor about getting the word out, about supporting, you know, some of the good causes that are out there. Mm-hmm. So what he did is he went to, I think it was like 50 or 60 different people within the fitness industry, all had them write up something, put it on a CD-ROM, and he called it the Liftstrong CD-ROM. And essentially what it turns out to be, it's like 800 pages of content. And the Liftstrong CD-ROM is $25. All of the cash goes to the Leukemia Lymphoma Society to help cancer research. And what I did was, several weeks ago, put up a blog post right before I went on vacation and said, look, this is something we need to support. Whether, you know, you guys haven't bought a copy yourself, whether you want to buy five copies and give it to friends and family, whatever the case may be, I just really wanted to help spread the word, because it's a great cause, obviously. I've lost several people in my life to cancer. Almost lost Alan, who's not only a great friend but a mentor to me. So I just think it's something that we really need to throw our support behind. And I think Alan's actually at the point now where Liftstrong 1 has done very well. At some point in the future, he's actually going to do a second edition. So, you know, if you guys are on the website, check it out. I think it's called Liftstrong Call to Arms. It's somewhere, you know, buried within my blog post now. But obviously, it's a great thing to support, and it's something that, you know, I hope more people take to heart, because, again, just not enough people are aware of, you know, how devastating a disease this really is, and it's just something great to support.
We'll make sure to link to that in the show notes if people can't find that. But yeah, that's something we were trying to push the last couple weeks as well. And, you know, it is kind of, we talked about this a couple times, you know, it's not the perfect economy right now. And, you know, people don't feel, you know, as safe with their money. But, you know, everyone can always help out a little bit. And like you said, Mike, it's only $25. And for many of us, that's, you know, maybe 2 days of coffee from Starbucks, seriously.
Or
just going out for, you know, thanks for adding stuff into the outline, John. We're trying to be serious here. But, you know, I think it's just, it's such a great cause, and, you know, every little bit helps. And even if it is $25, you don't have to donate $1 million like Bill Gates. Every little bit is going to help and go towards that research.
Yeah, buy them for other people, too, and distribute them. Makes a great stocking stuffer.
Absolutely. And one thing we always talk about is, you know, in a lean economy, a lot of people aren't willing to buy frivolous stuff. You know, they'll rein in, they're not going to go out and buy that new TV or that new set of golf clubs. But what they are willing to invest in is themselves and improving themselves. So especially if you're a trainer or a fitness enthusiast, there's going to be something on this CD-ROM that's going to help you out, whether it's becoming a better trainer, becoming a better coach, or simply becoming better at lifting. So, absolutely. I think it's a great purchase and something that, you know, everybody's going to take something away from.
Absolutely. And the other thing I wanted to talk about with you, Mike, is that there's been a lot of changes at RobertsonTrainingSystems.com, not only with the blog, but we have mentioned a little bit in the past about In the Trenches Fitness podcast. What's been going on with the podcast? Like, you know, it seems like it's really coming together, and I, for one, have been really enjoying it.
Thank you. Yeah, I think it's really coming along well. basically what I wanted to do was I got to a point with these written newsletters where it was taking me so long to go through and create them. And while I'm not totally getting away from those, I really feel like a podcast is something where, you know, you can either download it to your iPod, you can burn it to a CD and listen to it in your car. There's just so many different options that you have when it comes to that. And another thing that really helps take it to another level is the dialogue that goes on. When you do a typed interview with somebody, it's just kind of very straightforward and cookie cutter. And there's just more room for interaction and probably more depth of actual knowledge. So started it off just in an effort to take the fitness industry to the next level. So I think it's really coming along well. If you've listened to it, I've got everything from coaches and trainers to people that write in the fitness industry. I recently interviewed Adam Bornstein, who is the fitness editor for Men's Health. So you get all these different viewpoints and or different vantage points of people that are working within the industry, even though they might not all necessarily be trainers. So if you have not checked it out, definitely do so. You can find it on my site, and I think you'll really like where I'm going with it. I think it gets better a little bit, or it gets a little bit better every time we do it. So,
what I've kind of described it to people as is almost like the NPR fitness and nutrition podcast.
Yeah,
and that's what I like about it. You know, I wouldn't necessarily listen to the FitCast because I think it's at times a little unorganized, and I just like how, you know, everything, it's like in a nice neat package. I listen to it when I'm walking on the treadmill, and I'm always picking up 2, 3, 4, 5 new things every single week. So I'm loving it. It's just so this is why we started doing the FitCast. It's just for me, it's a lot easier to digest information, you know, audibly or visually, like through like a seminar or DVD.
Sure. And again, I'm just shocked at how many people, you know, email me or write me. And, you know, I just kind of started it because I thought it would be something cool and it'd be a different way to get information across. But I've really been, you know, surprised at how much support I've gotten from it. So it's gone really, really well.
Let's also talk about something that I've been getting little bits and pieces of from Eric here in Massachusetts. And that's, you know, a couple weeks ago, Eric went out to visit you and Bill, and you guys shot some footage. Like, what's up with that?
Yes. Well, kind of what we were seeing was over the last 4 years since we created Magnificent Mobility and 3 years since we created Inside Out, we started noticing that, you know, as some of the stuff that we were using now wasn't the same stuff that we were using then. And we listened to a lot of feedback that we got from people. And one of the issues that people were having or was having with the DVDs and the manuals was that they didn't know what mobility or activation exercises they needed. So what we did, we brought Bill on and we said, Bill, what we need you to do, come up with X amount of self-assessments. So if somebody's in an anterior tilt, how can they determine that? How can they determine if they need to stretch their hamstrings or they need to activate their glutes? So essentially what we did, we've created a manual and a DVD series. It's going to take you step by step through the assessment process. And you're going to jot down what you do correctly, what you do incorrectly. And you're going to take all those inefficiencies and build your own customized warm-up routine. So it's going to be a really powerful product in that regard because, you know, warm-ups, just like training, isn't one size fits all. Mm-hmm. You don't just say, oh yeah, every person squats, benches, and deadlifts. I mean, yeah, that's what I tell people because I'm just some jacked up meathead powerlifter. But, you know, 99% of the population wants something more customized. They like the thought of individualizing things, especially their warm-up. So this is going to allow people to kind of fine-tune and really correct their posture, their alignment, and their movement patterns pre-workout. So when they get to the squats and the lunges and the deadlifts and all that stuff, the right muscles are turned on. They're firing the way that they should. So they're just going to get that much more out of their workout. So it should be very cool when it's all said and done.
And I've been kind of bugging Eric about this, but what is there like a certain time? I'm going to have – I really would love to have the three of you guys on when this comes out just to do like a roundtable about it. But is there any kind of like you know, set time where you think this might be coming out? Is it coming out this year or next year?
Let me put it this way, Kevin. We shot it on – I think it was like June 24th or somewhere in that time frame. I was originally told we were going to have a rough draft in 2 weeks. Well, it's been about 7 weeks since then, and I haven't seen a rough draft yet. So I would say once I see a rough draft, then we'll say 2 to 3 weeks. So I would say probably about a month. I would like to think in the next week we're going to have the rough draft in our hands. So I would think, you know, mid-September, maybe early October, we'll have this thing ready to go. But again, that's kind of out of my hands right now. We've kind of done our part, and now it's on our audiovisual guy to fine-tune it and make it look as sexy as possible.
Nice. I'm pumped about that. And then, you know, another piece that's, you know, kind of brought you guys at IFAST into the news is that Men's Health just had their America's Top 10 Gyms, and you guys were included.
Yes. Yes. Somehow we sneaked our way onto that list. I don't know how that worked exactly. Hopefully the Adams over at Men's Health got their large sum of money that Bill and I FedEx them. But yeah, dude, if you look at that list, I mean, that's like a who's who of people in the fitness industry. So obviously we are humbled and definitely honored to be on that list, because there's some top coaches and a lot of people that I respect a lot on there. So for being in the industry, or for being, you know, open for officially about 1 year now, I think that's a pretty impressive feat on our part. So we're doing all right for ourselves.
So basically this month hasn't really sucked for you.
No, this month really has not been too bad. No. Other than that round of golf today, everything else has been pretty spot on, dude.
If you want to hear more about that, just make sure to hang out for the off-topic afterwards.
And by the way, for the record, Tiger Woods is jacked.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just watching the championship right now. He is jacked.
Yeah, he spends a little time in the weight room.
Yeah.
Phil Mickelson, on the other hand.
Not as
He looks better. Phil.
He does?
Well, compared to where he was 4 years ago, yeah.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, Phil, I think, has gotten a little comfortable. Have you ever seen the old pictures of Phil? Not to get too off-topic. Yeah. Like 10, 15 years ago? Dude, he was a rail. He was so skinny. Phil, if you're listening to this, call me up, dude. We'll hook you up.
Top 10 saying. Gym. Top
just,
10 gym.
Just saying, top 10, baby.
Well, last thing we're going to talk about before we get into the mailbag is, you know, a lot of our guests, we like to ask what you've been reading or what has kind of been on your plate in terms of information intake. So what have you been checking out lately?
Well, if you look on Amazon, you can find the actual name of the book. Off the top of my head, I know the author's last name is Elphinstone, Elphinstone. She's Australian, which you'll pick up on very quickly when you start reading it. But I think it's called something along the lines of Stability and Sport Performance, or something along
those
lines.
That's pretty close. Stability, Sport, and Performance Movement, Great Technique Without Injury.
Yes. So I've been nibbling on that a little bit. She's got a little bit of like the whole Australian TVA type stuff, but then, you know, much more focused on stability and improving movement patterns and that kind of stuff. Talks about all the little muscle groups, how important they are in movement. So, you know, I'm about probably 40 or 50 pages in now. I'm not ready to comment on it just yet, but it looks pretty high quality. So that is the current literature, along with Powerlifting USA and Maxim and whatever else.
Nice.
I'm just kidding. I don't read Maxim, but
right,
it sounds
only
cool.
Look at the pictures.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just look at the pictures.
I don't read this for the articles, you fool.
Yeah. It's interesting. In Amazon, they use key phrases for search, and one of the key phrases is Space Invaders for the book. Is there anything
space
to do
invaders.
With Space Invaders?
Not in the first 50 pages.
Not there yet. Okay.
Maybe that's like page 150 or something. I missed out on that.
Cool. Well, I'll keep an eye on that, and I'll make sure to see if you post anything on the blog.
I'll post a review of it when I'm all done with it.
Add it to my wish list. Just did it.
Yes.
All right. And I just informed Mike there's a new Halo game coming out in just about a month. How awesome is that? So that's totally fitness related, and that's why we just talked about it. Right.
Yes.
Now.
Yes, I'm all about it. I didn't even know it was coming out, but I will get it.
Nice.
As long as my wife lets me.
Nice. Nice.
Flip that in. Good.
Yes.
Just to be safe. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to be right back with a huge mailbag with our guests, Mike Robertson, John, and myself. first question that we have comes from Jimmy Varner. It's for Mike. Mike, what is the most frustrating thing you've come across and or dealt with in the fitness industry, either as a trainer, facility owner, or athlete?
Wow. Jimmy, how come I only get to say one thing, dude? I mean, plenty of things irritate me. I'm going to tell you what is the most on my mind right now, okay? Because obviously we have a facility, and we actually just did what we call a physique transformation challenge. So basically we had three people come in, try and lose as much weight as possible in a three-month time period. So what I really have a hard time getting my head around is I'm a very like focused, kind of direct person. So if I'm, you know, motivated to train, I'm just going to go train. I'm going to do it 100%. Well, with these people, what I continuously found was the training is so easy when it comes to fat loss. I don't care what anybody says. Writing a training program for fat loss is very easy. Training people for fat loss is pretty darn easy as long as they're somewhat motivated. The diet is an absolute nightmare.
Hmm.
And I keep coming back to that because there's no control on our side from it. We can give them, you know, the absolute best diet known to man, you know, to the macronutrient, to the calorie level exactly that they need. But if they don't follow it, you know, they're just not going to see the results. And obviously, Kevin, you're doing this with Lee now, so you kind of know what I'm talking about. You're motivated, so it's easy for you. Yeah. But I think you would be shocked at how hard it is to change some of these people's diet, their dietary habits, getting them to consistently eat the way that we want. And we're not even talking about when you start factoring in spouses, loved ones, the people that are surrounding them, because, you know, that's a whole other ballgame. But I think that's the biggest issue I'm having now with fat loss clients is consistently getting them to eat the way that, you know, we know they should to optimize their results. What do you guys think? Would you agree with that? I mean,
oh yeah. I mean, I think you had an interview with Alan Aragon, and you kind of hit on that a couple weeks ago. I think you had some you know good responses, and you know, well, the question I kind of have to throw back at you is, now what do you do in that situation? Do you just make the training harder, or do you just try to put more time and dedication into getting them to eat well?
I just flip my lid, dude. Just yeah. Go insane, berserk. Yeah, no, really. Well, first off, you know, when we were doing this, we were weighing them every week. So, you know, obviously, if you're doing what you want or what you're supposed to be doing, for the most part, the scale should be going down.
Mm-hmm.
We know it's not linear. It's not perfect. It doesn't always show up week after week after week like we'd want. But the long-term trend should be downwards. So when you see 3-4 weeks in a row and there's no change, it's like, come on, you tell me you're eating the way that you're supposed to, but are you really? And a lot of times you'll get stuff out of them because, you know, that's one of the things that I saw is, you know, there's only so many lies or so many different answers or whatever that you can come up with as to why you're not losing weight. If you're training the way that you should and you're in a deficit and your diet's spot on, well, physiology is physiology unless you've got hormones totally out of whack or something like that, then you should be losing weight. So I guess that's one of the issues. You just got to sit down and talk to them, figure out what's holding them back. And I've had people tell me 3-4 weeks in, I'm not losing weight. Well, I've come to the conclusion I'm an emotional eater. Okay, well, now we've got something to work from.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, what's causing you to be emotional right now? And they can start to kind of root out why they eat the way that they do, the underlying issues. But you know, a lot of people will tell you they do not need a nutritionist or they don't need a trainer as much as a lot of people need a therapist.
Well, totally.
You know,
pretty much,
figure out why you eat the way that you do and then start taking away the root cause and problem solved.
Well, what I found is kind of to be really effective is just break it down into caveman language. For when I try to deal with nutrition with my clients, like I just give them the most basic of outlines that I possibly can. You know, sometimes that will involve, you know, whenever I can think of foods that would be considered applicable to what they're doing, I'll throw it in a list. I'll throw it in a list for my fat loss clients. I make a list for my clients that want to put on size. And, you know, just every time I'm always adding stuff. And I now have these two documents that are like 12 pages long, full of pictures. I take pictures of all the food. I'll go into the grocery store and I'll take out my phone. I'll take a picture of every one of the products. So, like, they have, you know, really it's like a caveman can do it. You know, it's like that commercial. And, you know, for some, it's just making it simpler by, you know, maybe including something like a protein powder. All right, you always complained about getting up for breakfast. Let's start by getting something. Let's get in a just like a meal replacement, like your metabolic drive or something like that, just to get something in you. I need you to start your day with something, especially if you're going to go wake up at 9 o'clock and we're training at 10 o'clock and all you have is a banana. You know, we're going to be running on empty.
Right. Well, and I always try and remind them too, like, at 3 or 4 weeks, you're not losing weight. Obviously, the diet's part of the problem.
Yeah.
There's a high likelihood it's the problem, but by and large, it's part of the problem regardless. So rather than putting them on an island, try and explain to them, like, look, why are you coming in here and working so hard only to go home and shoot yourself in the foot continuously?
Mm-hmm.
You're putting in the effort. Why are you holding yourself back? And if you can try and get them thinking in that regard, it's probably going to help. But I think a lot of people try and rationalize. They think, well, I trained really hard today. I can drink these 3 beers and have this slice of pizza. And then, you know, that turns into, oh, well, I trained really hard yesterday, so I can have these donuts for breakfast or whatever. So you have to convince them, like, look, if you're going to stay in a deficit, you can't eat that stuff. You can have your 5 or 10% cheat foods. That's fine. But far too often, people want to rationalize and think, oh, well, I deserve this, and sorry.
Well, that's the whole argument from that Time magazine article.
Yep. Yeah, I was about to
bring
that up.
Don't even get me started. Don't even get me started
on
that.
Get started, baby. Let's do it.
Turn it up. Let's hear it.
That was single-handedly one of the worst articles I have ever ran or read. I mean, that guy was like the epitome of – I almost wonder, did he just write that to incite the rage of the fitness industry?
Or to make himself feel better. I thought it was just to rationalize why he's just such a loser.
You know, if you're 165 pounds and you got, like, you know, a beer belly or whatever, sorry, dude, your nutrition is not where it needs to be.
Yeah.
And spinning class alone or whatever he does, his 5.5-mile walk or run that he does, how many fat, overweight, out-of-shape 5K runners do you see nowadays?
Oh, yeah. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing.
I'm happy. If you want to run and exercise, that's great. But don't kid yourself. You know, there's a lot harder workouts out there, and there's a lot better things to do if you want to get lean or get in shape and then go out and run a 45-minute 5K.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't cut it. Okay, sorry. My blood pressure is like 140 over 90 right now.
And yet that's what's frustrating about it, too, because there was truth in that. It was just covered in crap.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there were very good points that were hidden in crap, and you just, you know, I think that's how we tried to approach it last week too. Do we throw the baby out with the bathwater? Because there were some good points. It was just basically mindless.
Yeah, but how would you look at any reputable source when they make their argument and they back it up with all research that just backs up their argument, and they don't look at the other side and they don't look for any kind of research that would go against what they're saying? And you know, that's very one-sided, and that's bad for media.
Which brings it back to that roundtable that we had about the use of research.
Research, yeah.
And people that are not trained to evaluate research using research to justify their own points.
Well, the thing that kept coming back to me is I think he summed up the article with saying, well, I'm not going to work out today, but I'm not going to eat that blueberry muffin too.
Like, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, you just really made a solid point there to finish your article off, dude. Like, come on, man. That's common sense. Yeah. Like, it's really common sense, especially for somebody that's highly enough educated to write for Time magazine.
Yeah.
That's just common sense. Okay, right. I just trained. Now I should eat something nutritious, not a freaking high-fat, high-carbohydrate, high-calorie blueberry muffin. Mm-hmm. That's not exactly going to give my body the fuel that it needs for the next workout.
Right.
Oh, Mike, I mean, you're obviously at a facility, and you know, you talk with a lot of people. How many people in the last week or 10 days brought that article up to your attention?
Luckily, nobody.
Oh, really?
No. I don't know if my clients are just not reading Time magazine or what the case is, but yeah, nobody has brought it up. Now, obviously, every person that owns a Facebook or Twitter account and has me as a friend and read it because I've seen it nonstop. Yeah. And if you want to read a great rebuttal, I saw like 30 links to it yesterday. Tom Venuto did a really good write-up on it.
Oh, yeah.
And just basically, you know, dismantling this guy's argument. But wow. I mean, you want to talk about why people are so confused about exercise, why they're so confused about training and losing weight or losing body fat. And you read stuff like that, and it just makes everything so cloudy. It makes our jobs 20 times harder than it should be. So it's very frustrating.
Yep.
I mean, that's lucky. I had more than 50% of my clients brought that article to my attention. One even emailed it to me. You know, I think I got, like, as we it was probably coming on to Monday, I got like 8 or 10 emails from listeners of the show and people, you know, just going against it. And, you know, it's really sad to see the, like, media like that just get out there in the population. And just quickly mentioning about Tom Venuto, I forgot to mention this at the beginning, but we will be doing the interview with Tom Venuto this upcoming Sunday. So if people had new questions for Tom, but we're going to be talking about natural bodybuilding. People want to get in on that. Sorry.
That's cool. I think the problem is, too, and it still is based on the fact that the majority of what we do in the industry is basically off of, you know, expert opinion. Mm-hmm. And that the research just is – half of the research does not correlate with what we actually see in the field. So it brings up all kinds of problems and people, you know, just burying research or disregarding it or whatever. And again, it's like throwing out the baby with the bathwater. So we really still don't know what makes us tick, even when we know, because it'll say something, the research will say something, and we go, but this just isn't true.
Mm-hmm,
you know, right. And it's just, it's problematic. It's very problematic. So you've got guys writing articles, cherry picking research, and it's, you know, what are you supposed to believe?
Yeah, especially for the lay person. The lay person that picks up Time Magazine and reads that article, they're effed now. They have no clue what to do, and they think, well, better than, you know, I'm just not going to do anything. That's what this guy says, basically. Just don't do anything. Don't work out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Which is stupid.
Oh, well. We'll let Tom take care of that.
We totally just went 2 straight weeks getting mad about this. I think we should never talk about this again.
Yeah.
You'll go 3. I'm sure Tom will talk about it.
Right, that's a good point. Damn.
You'll go 3. Well, at least we didn't bring up Tracy Anderson this time.
Oh,
Kevin.
What up?
Erica would like to know. She was listening to some older episodes of the FitCast and heard that you made some shakes with diet soda. How do you mix these? A blender, shaker bottle, or just stir it with a spoon? She typically uses a shaker bottle, but she's afraid that it would foam up too much.
John, do you remember this?
I really kind of barely do. It did sound familiar to me. I think I remember thinking like, wow, that's gross, but...
I think it was before I went to go see John Williams Endeavors, so this is like episode 15 or before territory, and
yeah.
I decided, you know, my buddy's over, let's mix a bunch of different protein powders up with diet soda and see what it tastes like. So we shot a video, and Erica, just don't do it. It's the worst possible thing you could do, and it sounds like a really good idea. Like, if you think, like, the thing I was pumped about was root beer in some vanilla protein powder. Like, wow, this is gonna taste really. It's gonna be like root beer float. And
seriously, I feel so nauseous right now.
And that night, that evening, leading into the next midday of the day after that, severe gastrointestinal distress. And it's really not worth it. And and to mix it, I had to use a blender. And it's just, it's messy. It foams up like crazy. Half of the thing will be like pure foam, and just don't do it. If you want to search, I'll see if I can post a link for it in the show notes, but if you just search on YouTube for like FitCast diet soda shakes, you'll see the video and just the expressions on my face, and you'll also see me with incredibly horrible posture. this is what led Mike to actually pull me aside at Ryan Lee's boot camp and basically bitch me out for my posture. So, hey, happens to the best of us.
I wasn't that mean about it.
No.
Just said I need a little work.
You know, Kevin, you know you walk on your tippy toes all day. You know that, right? Yeah, I did. All right, Mike, I got a question from you from Blaine. I have a question about my foot. I play rugby, and whenever I make a rapid change in direction, which is frequently, the top part of my foot begins to hurt. I Googled the foot, and the area that hurts is the inferior extensor tibialis anterior tendon. I'm not sure if it's those parts that hurt, but it's that general area. If it helps, it only hurts for a half a day or so, and only when I put pressure on my toes, like when I walk. Appreciate any help, as I do enjoy being able to walk.
Okay. Blaine, first of all, this is one of the problems with Google, because now everybody can research their own injuries and illnesses and other maladies that they suffer from. And I'll be honest, I, one, have never seen or dealt with this myself. John, have you? Do you have any ideas? Because basically I'm deferring to you on this. I have no clue. You know, maybe he's got some myofascial issues with his tibialis anterior. I don't know. What do you think?
Honestly, it could be a million different things. You'd have to know history. Has he ever rolled the ankle? I mean, it could be the tib anterior, especially with a cut. If it's eccentric control going into plantar flexion, then I guess I could buy that, or the extensor hallucis or the extensor digitorum, or, you know, because they all kind of run around that area. Could be the anterior talofibular ligament. It could be the talocrural joint, because you're kind of talking about that. I mean, I don't know if he's talking about if it's directly over the cuboid, you know, that kind of area, or if it's, I mean, I don't, who knows? It could be, it's just too many different things that could be.
Yeah. So, Blaine, if you're listening to this, definitely get somebody to check it out. If it's something that it's bugging you that much, definitely go and get a qualified physical therapist, ortho, somebody to check you out, just to rule out anything major, and then you can kind of game plan from there, because as we all know, online diagnosis is very, very challenging.
So we shouldn't go to like edoctor.com to get the
I'm not going to say he's going to get a great answer, but right. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I would just go to a good physical therapist, a good orthopedic or podiatrist, actually.
Yes.
You definitely go to a podiatrist. That would be the first place I would go to. But yeah, I mean, you can't even necessarily do it right there. You know, if you're not educated in issues with the foot, let alone online with some kind of vague description. So unfortunately,
absolutely, John. Got another question for you. This is coming from Donine. Hey, man, love the show and wanted to send a question into you guys, but I keep getting error messages. Anyway, I hope this will do. I'm about to ship out to the Army base. Basic training starts in about 2 weeks, and wanted to know how everyone takes on the excessive amount of push-ups and sit-ups, which make up the Army's fitness test and training. I know the sit-ups are, in fact, a terrible exercise regarding lower back health, and was hoping to get some insight on ways to perform the exercise with as little risk as possible. Thanks a lot. The FitCast rules.
I think this is one of those things. The Army's been doing this for a long time, and first of all, that's awesome that you're about to ship off. You know, thank you for your service. I mean, that just kind of goes without saying there. But as far as what the Army does in its physical fitness and preparation, I do know that they have made changes recently, and they have looked at actually more quote unquote functional training and what they actually need to do. A lot of times, and you'll see this if it's athletics and sports or even the Army, sometimes they do things just for the sake of doing them because it's a disciplinary type of activity. So, you know, football players still run a mile even if they never do it in an actual game, because there's a certain aspect of discipline that goes with being able to run a mile. And I think the same thing applies with Army basic training too. You've got to do it. You can't adjust your form. You've got a drill sergeant standing over you making sure that you're doing it right. Now, my understanding is that it's not a full sit-up, but it may still be. I'm really not sure. So what I would recommend is more of a complementary strategy, which means press-ups. You're going to arch your back on your own. Don't do it in front of them because they'll kill you for it. But you know, a couple times a day when you have the opportunity, what you're going to do is kind of bang out 10 to 20 extensions. And that's basically a concept from McKenzie therapy, where if we bend and flex forward, we want an equal and opposite reaction backwards. So maybe 2 to 4 times a day, you'll grab 10 to 20 extensions. You can just put your hand on your hips and just arch back 10, 20 times. And that, generally speaking, should be enough to kind of keep you in good shape. You've got to do it. So it's just a matter of how you'll take care of yourself when you're not performing the sit-ups, not about trying to pull a fast one and not do them or get away with doing them differently.
That's a very good answer, John.
Thanks, man.
I'm sure Donine is going to she's very appreciative of that. You know, just to add one thing on there, when you think about it, like people talk about the CSCS exam, and we all know the CSCS kind of gives people a bare minimum standard qualification to say, look, this person isn't a total clown. They got a basic idea of how to train people. It's kind of like that. You don't go in with the CSCS, take it, and start using every single thing you learned while studying for the test. You go in, you pass the test, and you use what works. So same thing here. Do what you got to do. Get through the basic training. Mm-hmm. And then, like you said, use the stuff to help keep you healthy. But then when you're done, you don't have to do it anymore. So just do what you got to do to get through the training.
Yeah. And quite frankly, I mean, doing a couple sit-ups is not going to blow your back out. I mean, unless you've got something that is so ridiculously suspect underlying, you know, you'll be okay. I mean, they don't – if this didn't work for the Army, they would have discontinued it. They can't have a bunch of crippled recruits. So, you know, don't be too concerned about it. You'll be fine. They're always fine. And just do what you got to do and be successful.
The next question that we have comes from Eddie, and bear with me. It's kind of lengthy, but I think it's a good question, so I'm going to try do my best to read through this without stumbling too much.
Should be good.
Thanks, John, for the support.
tough love.
Yeah, I need some tough love advice. My last girlfriend told me that I have commitment issues. I knew she was right. I just never thought it would be in regard to training. I've been experiencing the same problems over and over again. I will read an article or book on training. I get excited, and I really buy into the system and the potential results it will produce. I get all amped up to put the principles and methods into action. Then it happens. I get to the workouts. I start to panic. I get nervous. Do I really want to spend the next 16 weeks using this program? Well, maybe I just do phase one. Then I start to analyze whether phase one is going to be hard enough. I don't see any ab work. When do I get to do heavy rack lockouts for my tries? The next day, I read another article that has different parameters and looks more fun, so I'll disregard the previous program, but then it happens again. This program has too much volume. Where is the prehab work? I thought I was supposed to be doing 10 sets of 3. Meanwhile, I just go down into my basement and do some push-ups with my feet elevated and 30 pounds of weight thrown into a backpack that I'm wearing, and wondering, wouldn't this be easier if I just went to a gym and had access to heavyweights? Are these at-home workouts or single-leg variations / push-ups, rows, and chains effective enough and worth saving time from going to the gym? Or should I be driving 45-minute round trip to the annoying commercial gym that I've locked into a contract with and doesn't even have a power rack, but at least I can be doing heavy barbell, box squats, deads, cleans, heavy pressing, etc.? I need you guys to give me some tough love and tell me just to deal with my Freudian issues and jealousy over the ignorant guys taking no explode doing curls in the power rack while I swallow another fish oil and wonder how I'm going to fit in my mobility, activation, soft tissue work, prehab exercise, let alone my training, and while adding fillers, timing my rest periods, and slugging down my Perry workout shake in under 30 minutes. Perry workout is huge now. Is ignorance really bliss, or am I just focusing on this one girl and the long-term commitment when I really should be having fun and dating around? Wait, I thought I was talking about training. Have fun with this one. You might want to have John read this one. Kevin, just kidding. Oh, whoops. Hey, I did a pretty good job. Love the show. Keep up the good work. And this is okay. 3 years ago, or maybe actually 4 years ago, this is me. This was me 4 years ago. I would get a book. I was a virgin into... First, I just started going to the gym, and some guy told me...
Wait. You were a virgin?
Can we get that as a soundbite?
I was a fitness virgin.
That needs to be a soundbite.
That's what I meant. I hate you, John. And what happened was, you know, I picked up... you know what it was? It was I picked up I think Testosterone Advantage Plan was the first book that I picked up, and I started doing the training in that, and that was like the first thing I did. Then I liked that, so I picked up not the Muscle Bible. It's called the Body. The Book of Muscle, that's what I'm thinking of. I picked up the Book of Muscle, and then I started doing the programs in that. And then I went on to like terminals training, and then I saw what Cosgrove was doing, and then I saw what Eric was doing, and I saw what Chad Waterbury is doing, you know, so on and so forth. And, you know, I was still trying to feel what was right for me. And I think, Eddie, that might be part of the issue is you just got to sit down. And I think one of the best things someone ever told me was to sit down, kind of write what you want your goals to be 4 weeks from now, 3 months from now, 6 months from now, a year from now, and 2 years from now, and kind of get an idea of what you want to be training for. Are you just trying to look good naked, or are you trying to, you know, be able to put up some huge numbers, or you just want to, you know, have those veins popping out, you know, so the ladies can see them when you're sipping that Bud Light or whatever. So, when you pull up the bottle, you flex as you bring it to your mouth.
Fail.
Mike, you know the best ideas come to me when I'm doing bicep work anyways.
Yes, I do know this.
But you know, the best thing I ever did was I got to train from Eric for a little bit, and that's what I liked. I liked training for strength, and it corrected a lot of things for me. But Eddie, it sounds like you got a lot of things going on. Mike, I'm gonna throw it to you and see what you have to say.
Thank God.
Okay, well,
talk about when you lost your virginity. That's
what I'm... That's a negative ghostwriter. Again, fail. So, Eddie,
I'm tired.
Eddie, first off, when Kevin says set that goals for yourself, yeah, that too. We can talk about that later. We need more off topic for that. So, first off, Kevin is absolutely right. You've got to sit down and come up with some sort of concrete goal for yourself. And then after you figure out what your goal is, whether it's to get stronger on a specific lift or put on muscle or lose body fat, whatever you do, you got to find a program, and you have to make it your second goal to actually get through the whole program. Because if you continue to do this, you're not going to achieve anything. In fact, you're going to get worse and worse, and eventually, I tell you what, I've seen it happen before, you're just going to stop training. I guarantee it. You will stop training because you're not going to see any results, and why would you continue to do something if you're not going to get anything out of it? It makes no sense. So, I mean, I don't even know if I can give you tough love. It's like, look, dude, you got to do it. You have to do it. I can't say, Eddie, I'm going to fly to New York, or I'm going to have, you know, John drive and come find you and take you through your next 3 months worth of workouts. Like, you have to figure out what your goal is, what's most important to you, figure out a program that's going to help you achieve those goals, and then you got to do it. Mm-hmm. And that's really the bottom line. I mean, there's no like waffling on it. No, oh my God, this is the coolest program ever. Maybe you just need to find a program and turn your internet off.
Yeah.
That may be the best idea, because it sounds like you're reading too much stuff. And honestly, I mean, you could find a new workout every single day. You go to enough websites, you find a new workout every single day that's going to give you the purported effects or changes that you want to see. So, bottom line, you got to figure out what you want, come up with a game plan, and then do it. Bottom line.
John, do you have anything you want to throw in there?
You know, what I thought about with this question was one of Eric's recent articles. Or it was that little like paragraph, and it was like the tough love article or something like that. And he was saying, everyone suddenly is this internet expert. They know so much of everything, and it's just you don't, because you don't have the background. So you're picking up things. You're picking up little things here and there. You can talk about any subject in fitness, any subject in nutrition, mm-hmm. and you're out of shape and you can't even bench from, you know, half your body weight or whatever it is. I mean, you're paralysis by overanalysis, you've really got to just – sit down and say, looks like a good program. And I think another thing that might help you is a trick that I know Alan does. Give yourself 10 minutes of crap time at the end of your workout. So pick whatever workout it is that you want. You think this looks great, but you're saying, well, where's the prehab? So add 10 minutes of prehab if that will make you happy and think that the program is complete. Or if you pick up another program, you say, oh, but where's the ab? So add an ab exercise and make yourself happy. But don't just keep going, jumping back and forth for that perfect workout, that perfect scenario, because it also sounds like you have way too many goals and way too many thoughts in your head. Mm-hmm. You've got to choose, you know, like what Mike said, choose a goal, pick what you want to do, and stick to it. And then if you want to get stronger, go ahead and get stronger. If you want to get leaner, go ahead and get leaner. But if you want to solve whatever ails you and get leaner and put on 10 pounds of muscle and lose 20 pounds of fat and run a mile and then, you know, compete in a triathlon, dude, you gotta relax. Yeah. So just, you know, choose something that looks good, add one or two things if you really, you know, if that will keep you happy, and then just stick with it and shut off the computer, close all the books, and just go at it. Because I think another thing that frustrates me a lot, and I'm sure you guys could agree, you know, as a trainer, as a coach, whatever, if we put together a workout routine, the most frustrating thing in the world is the client that doesn't adhere to it.
Sure.
And it's not just an ego thing. It's the idea that when we put together programs, we want to see the results.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And when you start meddling, we have nothing to base it on. Mm-hmm. Nutrition, too, is huge like that. People will, you know, you put together like a nutrition program, you know, you get something from a nutritionist, and I have it all the time. I won't work with someone that's not having their nutrition followed if they're looking to lose weight, because, you know, we brought this up before. It just doesn't work very well. And the most frustrating thing in the world is when you're saying, hey, you know, how's the weight loss going? Oh, it's not going very well. And so you start to think immediately, okay, what can I do? What do we have to change? Whatever. And then it turns out, oh, but, you know, I drank a six-pack every week for the past 3 months.
Yeah.
You're going,
yeah.
Seriously? And then you're wondering, yeah. Why, and then you're complaining that you didn't lose weight. You know, whatever the case is, you're messing with the data. So absolutely. You need to – so before you can decide that this program is no good or this program doesn't have this or you're not going to get stronger because of that, you actually have to do it. So you don't know if that program is good or not because you're giving it 2 weeks and then you're bailing out and going to the next thing. So you really need a baseline. You really need to get your stuff together, focus, and yeah, if you have a goal, you need to marry it. Stop dating around and trying to just – have one night stands, man. You got to marry it.
And I think the same thing is going to have to address your nutrition as well, because, you know, there's so many things out there now. There's like the anabolic diet. There's just strictly low carb diets. There's you know, it's carb cycling. There's all these other forms of just, you know, ways to eat, or you can go the vegan route, like stuff like that. You know, there's, you just got to have your plan set. And just stick with it. You know, what's you're not going to – you can't waste 4 weeks. Like 4 weeks, how much of that of your life is going to be in that 4 weeks? You're really not going to be taking a huge chunk of life away from you. But, yeah, no. Or, you know, I think what really also worked for me is Alan Cosgrove called me out in front of 100 people at a seminar because of it and almost pissed my pants. So maybe I'll have him give you a call. Or have him call you out at his next seminar.
Nice.
All right.
Kevin.
Oh, yeah.
I have another question for you.
Let's talk about it.
All right. And I don't know who wrote. Oh, Harry wrote this. And he says, hey, Kevin, love the show. You don't have to answer this question on the show, but I was wanting your opinion. I've been into working out and fitness for about 3 years. I'm starting to think I should pursue a career in fitness. There are two ways I can do it, either through a private college, which will make me a personal trainer or strength and conditioning coach in 1 year, or I can do a 3-year applied science degree in exercise science. Just wondering which one I should do. Also, if I did the personal training now, I might regret not doing the degree when I was young. I'm 19. Hope this made sense. Harry, see episode 139.
No, that's my – those are my notes. Thank
Dude,
you.
Dude, you got to bold it, man.
All right, sorry. All right, well, this is something that we've talked about a couple times on the show.
Everything.
John, it's okay.
Everything, Kev.
John, am I going to have to drop you?
Let me go get punch out right up on it.
I never finished that game, too, by the way. I never finished punch out. Never did, because
come on,
you
man.
Ruined it.
Commit yourself.
No. All right. So the first thing I want to say, Harry, is that we talked about this a little bit in terms of education on episode 138 and 139, where we kind of hit on the fitness industry and where it is. And, you know, one thing I will also recommend is that Tony Gentilcore recently made a post about getting into the fitness industry, and he's kind of gone on a couple rants about people wanting to train elite athletes, you know, right out of college, or not really wanting to pay their dues when they still don't know their ass from their elbow when it comes to training, or you know, they got a D in kinesiology and they want to thinking about going into physical therapy and stuff like that. So first, I just want to say, check those two out. John, you have more schooling than anyone I've ever met. So I'd love to ask you. And it wasn't just those 3 times of having to repeat the fourth grade either. I mean, like, in terms of post-high school. So what do you think for Harry? You know, what does he have to do?
It could have been 4 times repeating fourth grade, so still on the up and up. I would say if you're 19 – go through the long term there.
Yeah.
Don't take the quick way out. I mean, it gets harder and harder to go back to school the older you get, and believe me, I know. So you really, if you think that this is what you want to do, commit yourself to it. Hmm. Make sure that that's what you want to do. I mean, try to see if you can, shadow some people, go to different things, do different things. But if that's what you want to do, then commit yourself to it and make sure that you're giving yourself the best opportunity to be successful. Another thing that I like to – the way that I personally evaluate things is how many options does it give me? So if I – if you do that 1 year, get a personal training certificate thing, then basically what that allows you to do is to become a personal trainer at a gym.
Yeah.
Applied science and exercise science, then you have the option to go on to grad school. You could go on to physical therapy or occupational therapy or med school and stay a personal trainer or become get a master's and possibly get into collegiate training and things like that. So it just gives you more opportunities and more things to do. And believe me, when you're 19, you're going to be different than when you're 30 or 40 or 50, and you may change your mind and may not want to be that 50-year-old personal trainer. And if you haven't given yourself the opportunity to walk down different paths, you're going to have a hard time finding anything else or any other direction. So I would always, especially, again, when you're young, just do it till you can't anymore. I mean, just get as much education as you can, as many opportunities, and go from there.
Mike, do you have anything to add to that?
No, I think you gave a pretty good answer. I would not do the one-year deal. It's just, like you said, it just really pigeonholes you. You don't have a lot of opportunities or a lot of room for advancement, so to speak. And, it'd be really bad if you did the 1 year and you come out and 3 years later you realize, I hate personal training.
Yeah.
So, it's just so much easier. There's so much more room to move around. I can't tell you, I probably had half of our XSci class at Ball State that went through XSci and went on and did something else.
Yep.
Because they went through the program and just thought, nah, this isn't going to cut it for me.
Yep.
And they went on and did a MBA, or they did something in, information communication sciences, something like
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
So, absolutely, I would rather you do something along the 3-4 year normal program than do the 1 year deal. It's just a lot better move in the long haul, I think.
Yeah, and the fact of the matter is, I mean, unfortunately it's the case, but it is what it is. You don't need an education to be a personal trainer. You can go get your ACE certification and become a personal trainer. So what are you really, getting from a 1 year program anyway? So you might as well commit yourself and become a good trainer, or at least give yourself more of an opportunity to be a good trainer than just kind of take a quick and easy way, and then it's like, okay, so.
The last question that we have comes from Bob Parr, and I'm going to shoot this to both of you guys. My question is for you, John, and or possibly for Mike Robertson. It pertains to the neck. Ever since I can remember, I've had issues with forward head posture. I've worked to correct my pelvic tilt, bringing it pretty much back to neutral, and I've also had quite a bit of success with fixing my kyphosis by working on T-spine mobility, thanks to Mike Robertson and Bill Hartman's Inside Out DVD. But my forward head posture has barely budged. My neck flexors don't seem to be weak, but it feels like the neck extensors are very tight or short, and I have very little flexion range of motion at the cervical spine. Any tips you can offer? Thanks, and keep up the great flow of info on the FitCast, Bob. So, Mike, I'm going to shoot that out to you first, and definitely another more praise for Inside Out. It's a great DVD.
Yes, well, thank you, Bob, for the kind words. I appreciate it. Now, here's the issue I have. It's very rare that I see somebody that's got a forward head posture with no other postural anomalies.
Yeah.
Do you agree, John?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, in a lot of ways, it's almost physiologically impossible when you start to think about it. Like, something else is probably going on. So what I would like to see first is, one, does he truly have, you know, optimal alignment the rest of the way up the kinetic chain? Because I would put cash money on the fact that he probably does not. Mm-hmm. Now, what I see with most people, again, you know, this is my client base and the people I work with. Generally, if you're going to have forward head, you're going to have some degree of kyphosis. How bad that is, I don't know. But a lot of times I notice if you start to fix the thoracic spine and then you start to develop the neck stuff after that, you get a lot better results. Mm-hmm. Like if you go straight to the neck, it doesn't seem like you get the same kind of results. But if somebody's got very significant kyphosis, we'll do a lot of the long duration, low load stretching. Mm-hmm. For instance, what you'll do, lay lengthwise along a foam roller, take your arms, put them at, say, the 10 and 2 positions on a clock, so they're kind of up over your head. If that's too much stretch, you might need to put a like pillow or something underneath your arms. And basically, you're going to hang out there 15, 20 minutes. Because what we're trying to take advantage of is soft tissue creep or that adaptive lengthening that we're looking for. And that's going to help kind of open up the thoracic spine, open up your chest. And once you start to reset that, then you're kind of working the foundation from the ground up. Obviously, you could have issues down the kinetic chain as well, whether it's your foot, your hip, whatever. But most people that have forward head are going to have some degree of kyphosis. And if you don't fix that, you're really beating your head up against a wall. What do you think, John?
Yeah, and you know what? I think something that kind of jumps out here too, I think a lot of the things that you read and a lot of things that are in vogue right now are soft tissue approaches and, you know, stretching and things like that. But there are manual techniques that sometimes have to be addressed, and there are things that you cannot do by yourself, or it's very difficult and you're going to have a long, tough time taking care of it. You know, almost like ART. I mean, I'm ART certified. I don't use ART for every single patient that I have. And in fact, I probably use very little of it in most cases, especially in a chronic case, because then you're dealing with the joint itself. So soft tissue work is going to work around issues that are also centered around the joint and centered around proprioception and your ability to mobilize. So, you know, when you can't flex your neck, that's a pretty bad spot to be in. And that almost absolutely means that you've got joint issues that need a mobilization or even manipulation, not necessarily rotatory manipulation, but something to free up those joints, because otherwise all you're going to be doing is kind of, you know, throwing sand on a dam with a hole in it. You know what I mean? I mean, you've got to plug that thing up properly. Otherwise you're just keeping stuff at bay, but you're never actually addressing what's going on there. So when I hear someone say, hey, for the longest time, I don't have any flexion, that's a bad spot. So I think that there are cases such as this that you really need to go and have someone take a look at what's going on with your actual joint mobility. Other than that, yes, you can do the whole chin tuck thing to get more extensor stretch. You can do a seated neck extension, neck flexion, which most people will do wrong, and they'll use the sternocleidomastoid instead of the deep flexors. But those muscles will be weak. If you're in a forward head posture, they are guaranteed to be weak. So there are things that you can do on your own. But having said that, you really benefit from having someone take a look at you and exactly what Mike said, evaluate what's really going on there, because it's kind of hard to believe that you're good everywhere else, but the neck just doesn't seem to want to budge.
Cool. I don't think we're going to have a cool title like pre-workout sex this week, I don't think.
How about Kevin's virginity?
No.
I like it.
Yeah.
That's just me, though.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think we're going to be wearing out our welcome if we do back to back. It's just desensitizing our fans.
Yeah.
It's all about the sensitivity, right, Kevin?
It really is.
Optimal sensitivity.
You know, and it kind of it's interesting too, because I think we've been getting a lot of questions like that lately, where it's like people are self-diagnosing themselves, and I'll ignore your virginity for a moment, Kevin. But you know what I mean? Like, there's a danger in that.
Sure.
There is a danger in that, and people, you know, it is kind of like what Eric was talking about in that article, but from a different standpoint. You really don't know what's going on, and yeah, you know what, when you pulled a muscle or something, okay, you pulled a muscle, let's see if you're strong here, weak there, whatever, but, you know, sometimes there's an underlying issue that you really need to have addressed. So forward head posture, I mean, is that a bad thing? I mean, it could be, but you know, trying to figure out and solve it on your own may not be the best way to do it, may not be the best strategy. And you, if there is a danger in having a postural problem like that, you may very well not solve it and then put yourself down the road for further injury or insult to the tissue, where getting it addressed properly would save you a lot of those troubles.
Well, and I think that's, not to shamelessly plug a product that's not even out yet, but I think that's kind of where our product's going to help, because it's going to say specifically, these are the tests you need to do. This is when you pass. This is when you fail. As long as you can be honest with yourself, you should get a pretty good result, and you should have a pretty good idea of what you need to work on to improve. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, like a lot of people still reference Neanderthal No More, which Eric and I wrote like 5-6 years ago. And sure, there's some good information there, but we've drastically changed the way we train and evaluate people since then. So it's the beauty and the curse of the internet, because once it's out there, it's forever out there.
Yeah.
But, you know, you too often now people want to diagnose themselves or say, oh yeah, I've got this, or I don't have that. It's just too hard. If you really want a good idea of what's going on, go see somebody. Yeah. Work with a professional. And that's the best advice I can give you.
Yeah. Because there's just too many things that you know, it kind of like that question we had before is, oh, I get this little pain on the top of my foot. I don't know, I could think of like 10 different structures that could be, or problems or whatever, you know, ranging from soft tissue to joint to nerve to, you know, I mean, like, I don't know, you know, it could be a million things. So it's really, you know, and I'd like to think that the three of us have a certain amount of education that will allow us to kind of figure out where certain problems might be. For someone that's just getting this stuff off the internet, and that's not, you know, it's kind of like me doing my own taxes, right? Like, I could probably fake it. I could probably do it. But you know what? Why not hire an accountant that's trained to do it? It'll probably save me some more money in the long run. And that's kind of the way that I look at it with things like this. It's great to take stuff on your own and to be self-educated and to learn. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's a great thing. But there comes a point where you have to recognize your own limitations.
Absolutely.
All right, what do you guys think? Should we wrap it up?
Wrap it up.
All right. Well, again, Mike, I want to thank you for coming back on the show. We're going to have links for all the stuff that we talked about, including links to the In the Trenches Fitness podcast, which if you have iTunes open right now, you might as well just throw it in the search bar on the side in the music store. Probably make it one less step for you. But, Mike, I'm going to demand that we have you back on the show when this DVD comes out. It sounds really exciting.
That sounds great, man. You can definitely count on me, and we'll try and get Eric and Bill, even though sometimes he claims he's technologically slow. He really is not. He's more technologically hip. I got a text message from Bill yesterday.
No, you did not.
Yeah. Bill has
you
a BlackBerry now. He's got a BlackBerry.
Bill has a BlackBerry now?
A BlackBerry, and he texted me on his BlackBerry yesterday.
That's insane.
That's a big step.
That is a huge step. Welcome to the dark side, Bill.
Oh, yeah.
I got to send him a text now. Oh, my God. That's ridiculous. Dude, yes. I would get so yelled at if I did that when I was at clinic with him. he's like, no, I'm not answering it. He's so dead set against it.
Yes. So he is not as technologically caveman-ish, if you will, anymore.
Wow.
Very cool.
He's on it.
Well, I think that's going to do it, John. We're not going to expect anything from you, right? No blogs this week, probably.
Kevin, how many hours did you work this week?
I had 18 training sessions this week. That's 18 hours at the club, plus driving, plus designing programs, Plus, I actually include my own personal training myself. That's part of my work schedule because, you know, you got to bring the goods to get the goods, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, last week I worked 17 hours on Tuesday.
That's not that bad, you know? It all works out.
I love how he just threw you under the bus.
Oh, no, man, that's cool.
He
sorry.
Does it every week, yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, I would love to do 30 sessions per week. You know, I wouldn't mind bringing that money home. You know, so we'll see what happens with that. But, John, you have fun. Like, if I want, I could probably go get a job at Dunkin' Donuts right now working 17 hours a day.
That'd be awesome. You should do that.
You think I should?
I think you should. And then we'll see how many blog posts you have.
Well, it's all about the grandes and the lattes and the frappuccinos. Yeah, I don't know all that.
Actually, you should work at Starbucks. They give you... they give you, what do you call it, benefits after like 20 hours or something.
Wow. I get benefits already, so.
No. Yes, you do.
So I get double benefits. I could have double the healthcare.
Nice.
Who says we need free healthcare? I can just get double
exactly.
Healthcare. All right.
Yeah, let's not get started on that.
No, just had to throw in the politics. All right. Well, everyone, thanks for listening. Again, thanks for Mike. Thanks, John. Take care, everyone. Don't forget to check out thefitcast.com for all the show notes. We have all the links on there. Subscribe through iTunes. And until next time, John.
You want the pink dumbbell?
Yeah, let's do the pink dumbbell award.
All right.
Let's see if you can hear this. All right, pink dumbbell.
This is Tony Jennifer.
I swear to God. I swear I didn't mean that to happen, but just one more time.
This is Tony Jennifer.
Just so, because it's nice to feel like Tony was here every single week. Who do you got, John?
Pink dumbbell word goes to Erica asking you about the diet soda smoothies that you made because that just reminded us of your epic fail from like years ago.
All right, well, you know what, and I'm gonna give one to Eddie. You're gonna get my pink dumbbell award, and that means we're gonna get to play this one more time for Eddie. So that's for you, Eddie, because I care. So both of you guys send me an email with your address and the size of the t-shirt that you would like, and yeah, everyone should be getting books and t-shirts last week or two. So, you know, send me a picture with a t-shirt on. Eventually, I'm going to throw a blog post with a bunch of the listeners with the new and improved FitCast t-shirts that don't look as feminine as the original ones. So,
you shouldn't send Eddie his t-shirt until he completes 3 months of programming consistently.
I like that.
Oh, okay.
Incentivize him.
All right, okay, Eddie, this is what I want you to do. I want you to email us for next week's show. I want you to pick a program, one that I really enjoyed, Maximum Strength. It's like $13, or you could go, if you want to go with Fat Loss, New Rules of Lifting, that's like $12. There's so many books that you can pick up now with fantastic programs, and I want, you know, no, even, let's make him go a step farther. Do some kind of a training log or a blog. Blogspot, free blogs, do some kind of a training log. And what we'll do is, you know, because I have a big heart, guys. We'll update every couple of shows. We'll jump onto the blog and we'll see what Eddie's been up to. And if he hasn't been updating, then we'll just bitch him out for like 60 minutes.
See, nice. It's like e-accountability.
It's we should register that. E-accountability.com.
Between e-accountability and the caffeine IV drip alarm clock, I'm telling you, people, patent this stuff. 5-10%, that's all I'm asking for.
Mike, you're in the wrong business, man. You should be in a think tank.
I know. Sorry.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's it. Thanks for listening, guys. John, now you're going to leave us with something, and don't fail.
Boycott the Eagles.
See you next week, folks. Hello, welcome to the off-top discussion. I am with Mike Robertson, our guest for this week, and of course we have John Fass, and we're going to spit out some off-topic. This is our second time doing this today, John.
I ran out of topics.
You had no topics. That was the problem.
I had topics. I had plenty of topics, Kevin Larrabee.
Okay. Like what?
How much Boston sucks.
Why do you guys always, like, is this like every show? Or is this like every Boston, New York? Like, I remember when I was in New York with Joe and Eric, and just it was constant. Joe was just bombing on Eric the whole time. Like, dude, your socks suck. They freaking suck. Just nonstop. And, you know, Eric would say something. He'd be like, yeah, he says that because he's from Boston. You know, like, just all the time.
Yeah pretty much.
See,
I'm fine right now. I mean, the Red Sox are still in pretty good position. The Celtics recently won a championship. Tom Brady's back, and I'm feeling pretty good.
Okay,
18-1. Sox are 6.5 games back.
18-1. They're 18-0 though before the Super Bowl. Think about that.
Oh, think about how that doesn't mean anything because you lost it. Who'd you lose it to?
Well, you just blew.
You lost to New York.
You just blew like $80 million on Eli Manning, a prepubescent, you know, mid-level quarterback.
Hey, dude, guess what?
What's up? What's up?
I know what he's going to say. Super Bowl.
We won the last one. Boston sucks. When we went head-to-head.
Not the last one, but...
The last one between the two of us, yeah. The last one, like, if we go back in time, you stop at the Giants before you stop at Boston.
It's just bad coverage on that last drive. It's fine. It's bad coverage.
Yeah.
So. Ooh, can I make a comment?
Yeah.
Go for it.
I've got a comment because, you know, like we're talking about football. So one of my clients comes in yesterday and he says, are you going to tune in tonight? And I have no clue what he's talking about. He comes from actually like 2 hours away. It's called Lowell, Indiana. It's up near Chicago. And he swore that the Jay Cutler era was going to be riveting last night. Did you guys see any of that?
Oh, it's brutal.
Did you see the Jay Cutler era? Because I saw
it.
I was not impressed. I mean, that's just me.
Totally worth two first-round draft picks, too.
Yes. Well.
Money well spent.
Better than the Kyle Orton experiment in Denver. Whoa. I mean.
Yeah. Whatever. It's preseason.
Yeah,
this
is true.
Who cares?
That's true. We're 3-17, I think, the last 4 years in preseason.
Yeah.
So I don't put too much stock in it.
Yeah, but what about Indy? I mean, you have Peyton Manning, who's still not very happy with his situation there with his offensive coordinator. He just lost, but you know, arguably his best receiver.
Well, yeah, no, dude.
Yeah,
Marvin Harrison's
Peyton.
Old.
Yeah.
Reggie Wayne has been his go-to receiver for the last 3 years, dude.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting. It's always with the Colts. Can they stay healthy enough to win? You know, their entire starting secondary is out right now. The entire starting secondary.
That's crazy. That's
so
crazy.
It's impressive.
Yeah. That's crazy.
If we can get 10 to 12 games out of Sanders, we'll be all right. If not, I can't promise a whole lot. We'll see.
Tom Brady looks pretty good, guys. I'm just saying. And we actually have all of our offensive linemen are healthy. And we have 14 running backs now.
With the median age of 33.
Hey, you know, Fred Taylor, he used to be a player.
Yeah, and how old is he now?
Like 50. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. Fragile Fred.
He's a member of AARP. That's fine. I have no issues with that. You can't discriminate against age in the NFL.
This is true. Wow.
Put that green tea kick in a little bit. All right. So is there anything else you guys want to hit on off topic? I don't know. I know, Mike, you've been really busy. Is there anything crazy that's been going on that's not necessarily fitness related?
I've decided I have a love-hate relationship with golf. That's about it. I took a lesson. I was on vacation last week, and I took a lesson. I'd never had a professional lesson before. And, wow, I went out last and just freaking played out my – yeah, you know what. And I thought, dude, I've got this game figured out. So what do I do this morning? The only day I have off the whole week, I get up at 7 a.m. to drive to Muncie, which is an hour away, to play golf with my buddy. How do you think I play today?
Crap.
Yeah. Yeah. It was probably the worst golfing experience ever because it's about 95 and humid here today. And, yeah, it was basically the most miserable round of golf you could imagine. And guess what I get to do later? Just more guess. Golf. No, not more golf. Yard work.
Oh, nice. Sweet.
Which is even better, you know? The Irish skin is not feeling the sun today. Let's just put it that way. Not feeling the sun.
Amen, brother.
The only time I ever did that was with my cousin. We were just in like a shooting range kind of thing. And seriously, if I were a pitcher, my cut fastball would be nasty. Because those things were shanking to the right, shanking to the right, shanking to the right. Oh, my God. I was like, this is not the sport for me.
Yeah, see, it's the inconsistency that kills me. One shot is luscious. The next, yeah, you're freaking banging on somebody's front door, you know, so.
I'm sorry.
Sorry about that. So, whatever.
Well, as long as you play with the right people, if you play, like, I caddied for this one guy when I was in high school who, on the third hole of a tournament, had six straight tee balls go right, straight left, hooked left every single time, basically snapped the club in half. He played nine holes and was like, man, thank you. I'm sorry for acting out. Here's $200. I'm not doing the rest of the tournament. And I went home. And I made $200 on less than 2 hours of work. It was pretty awesome.
Dude, that's awesome.
Yeah, so that's I think I'm going to go back to caddying if this training doesn't work out.
Hey, dude. $200 for, I mean, if you three holes, that probably took you, what, an hour tops?
Oh, no, it was nine holes. It was nine holes.
So like 2.5 hours?
Yeah, it was like a four ball, so there was just no. It wasn't a. It was like teams of two, so they were playing best ball, so it was a lot quicker than normal.
Mm. Wow,
yep,
pretty bad.
That's not a bad hourly rate, dude.
Nope.
No, I'm gonna. I should charge that.
Seriously, we went to grad school to make less than that. That's great.
Yeah,
fantastic.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Oh, you're talking about how Tiger Woods' caddy makes like a million a year, just sitting on his butt.
Yeah. At least for 20. For 20. What do you call it? 20 matches a year, basically, that's a pretty decent hourly wage right there.
It's a heavy bag.
Yeah, life sucks sometimes. Mike, who will be the first UFC champion to fall out of this current? Right?
Ooh. Okay, so who do we have? We got GSP.
Well, all right, let's go in order. So we got BJ, lightweight. Yep. We got BJ. GSP. We got GSP. We got Anderson Silva. We have Machida, and then we've got Brock.
Oh, man.
Right?
Dude, that's really tough.
Brock's not going down, guys. He's
I'll tell
scary.
You what. If you look at just experience-wise, you have to say Brock.
Yes.
But depth of the competition, I'd say he
not
has
a lot there.
No, not a lot there.
Well, what about Kimbo Slice? Because I know I have a client who's big into UFC, Kimbo Slice is trying to come into UFC.
What?
He looks like a psychopath, just like Brock Lesnar.
Dude.
Yeah. Is he not big enough?
Kimbo Slice.
Overrated.
Overrated.
Yeah. Isn't even on the radar. It's not even on the radar right now.
He's not even in the vicinity of the radar, actually.
No.
He's not even like the range.
No.
The radar looks
like,
at.
Yeah. He's a submarine, and we're looking at airplanes, dude. It's not there.
That was a good one, John. I like that. I'll use that.
Dude. I don't know, dude.
I mean, you could potentially say BJ just based on historical, because for BJ, he's got a deep enough group, you know, weight class, and if he doesn't put his effort in, then you've seen that happen.
Yes.
But
he looked great last.
Oh, God, he looked great.
He looked good.
I mean, Kenny Florian is a legitimate contender. Legitimate. Yeah. And he did nothing against him.
Yeah, he kind of put the B down on Kenny.
Yeah, he really did. I mean, it was kind of boring and then got really good. And it had fits of brilliance. But, I mean, you could say GSP because I think he probably has the deepest level of competition. But he makes every single guy look like a white belt in his first match.
Yes.
I mean,
just GSP.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's a freak.
I mean, every time that he fights someone, you go, oh, man, he's got a lot. He's going to have a lot of trouble. The worst injury that he received from the last fight was like his own doing.
Yeah. it's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, dude. I don't think I can call that.
Oh, wow. Kurt Angle just got busted with HGH.
Who did?
Kurt Angle from former WWE. Olympic gold medalist in WWE wrestling. Yeah.
Wow. And in other news, water is wet.
Yeah, I know. These guys are all dirty in the WWE. I don't
find that. Can't imagine.
Couldn't even begin to imagine.
Well, that's the issue. Is you still can't. There's still no real fantastic test for testing for HGH, correct? And you know, they HGH just have to catch him in the act, more or less.
You have to actually, yeah. There is testing, but it's invasive.
Oh, it's blood work, right?
Yeah, it's a blood work. Yeah. You can't do an invasive thing.
All right.
Unless you're in the Olympics, then you can have everything done to you.
That sounds weird.
They'll just show up on your doorstep.
Yeah.
Like, what up? We gotta take a sample.
Give us a pint of blood.
Yeah.
It's amazing, too. Like, I've known guys that have done, like, Pan Am games and stuff like that, and they legitimately, they're like, dude, I can't even be in a room with someone smoking a cigarette. Like, it's that serious.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty crazy, dude. Oh my gosh, Kevin.
Sorry.
How much green tea have you had so far?
Half a liter. I've actually, though, this is what happened. I woke up at 7:30 because I got a text message and I couldn't fall back asleep. And I more or less woke up, got breakfast, got ready, did my grocery shopping, got home around half an hour before 10:30, and that would be 10 o'clock. And I had a can of Spike to get ready for the show, just so I could be nice and clear, have a nice clear mind. And then once we didn't do the show, I popped open a liter of green tea. I had two glasses of green and white tea that's mixed together, and this is my second liter of green tea today. So
I don't know, dude. I think you need a little bit more.
I know.
I don't think that's enough antioxidants.
Well,
you know what I mean?
I actually, when I was at Trader Joe's last week, I asked them if they could somehow get, because Trader Joe's makes their own green tea, and if they could get it instead of a glass bottle in some kind of like IV where I could just put it on tap, that would be optimal for me. Just so it's just a pain in the ass to drink green tea. It's kind of bitter, and I'd rather not have to deal with that so much.
You know, I got an even better idea.
What's that?
Okay, so here's what you do. Instead of just a straight IV, you make it an IV alarm clock. So like 30 minutes before you wake up, you just start the drip. And then that way, when you wake up, dude, you're just ready to go. There's no wasted time.
Yeah. Yep.
See? I mean, has somebody thought of that?
I need to go to a medical supply store, obviously.
I'm telling you, dude.
And get a nurse to put a needle in my arm.
So when somebody patents that idea, I only want like 5-10%. Seriously. Mm-hmm. Just
no greed.
No greed at all.
Reasonable.
Totally. Totally reasonable. We ready to do this show?
Yeah, let's do this. All right, I'm going to stop recording. Thanks for listening, guys.